Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Now, here's your host, Ben Milam.
Hello, 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 and a happy Monday evening to you all. We are rolling right along. Another week of Crusader Talk. It is so good to be back with you. My name is Ben Milam, and hang on, what is that Josh West's music that I hear?
This is Josh West. You thought you were going to get rid of me for the rest of the semester,
No.
Caleb Hamill, back on the DL.
That's right.
Back out of the, call back up from the minors. Here I am.
That's right. Bring our big bullpen arm in. My name is Ben Milam. That's Josh West. We are alongside our producer, engineer, Will Tony. And again, we always want to remind you, we are available in podcast form. That's Crusader Talk. All you got to do is type Crusader Talk into whatever podcast platform you use, and it'll come right up under the Super Talk Mississippi banner. We're live from the Super Talk Mississippi studios out here in Hattiesburg, live on the web as well, supertalkhattiesburg.com. We got a whole lot to talk about tonight. I think we say that every week, but every week it is true. A lot of Crusader success to talk about and a lot of sports. We'll wrap it up on the tail end of the show, but we are very excited to bring back our first repeat guest, Coach Ryan McKenzie, head coach of our men's and women's track and field program at William Carey. Got to talk to him about 3 weeks ago after an SSAC conference meet victory, SSAC championship, another one in the belt for William Carey, and got some national champions to talk about. Coach McKenzie, thanks so much for being back with us.
Thank you guys for having me once again.
Well, I do, Coach, want to ask you, we talked a little bit about 3 weeks ago about the implications and the mindset that maybe changes a little bit when you're running in a postseason meet and competing in a postseason meet in the field as well. But there has to be a little bit of a difference when you know you're competing for a national championship. And we'll talk about some of the results here in a moment. But what is going through your mind? How do you perceive how your team is approaching a meet when you know you're competing for a national championship?
Well, I like to always go into it with a championship mind frame. But I tell the athletes also, hey, we are prepared for this. And everything that we do along the way during the year, we're preparing ourselves for it. So I like to tell them, hey, everything that we've done, you're ready. So let's go out and let's put it all out on the track and let's attack it. And normally, most of the athletes, they understand because they also have a championship mind frame. Being able to be on that championship stage is huge. So they embrace it a lot. And we go out and we try to make sure that we put that out on the track.
So much more now in 2023. Do you find yourself, Coach, being sports psychologists more so than fundamentals? Because these athletes have had so many more reps, have they not, here at this point in whatever you want to say, in just society and in sport, the training, the nutrition, all the things they're getting at a younger and younger age. Do you find yourself working the most on the mental side?
Well, I'm going to be honest, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's mental. The mental aspect is huge now. It's almost bigger than the athletic side. So we have to sit down and we have to talk and we have to make sure that we set the stage on the mental side and make sure that we're also humbling and guiding them in the right way on the mental side before we even attack the athletic side, because we can also lose them either way. So, yeah, the mental side is huge. The psychology side is really huge right now.
And I got to imagine it's probably a little bit even more of a balance or challenge to hold that balance after these ladies, specifically on the women's side of things, won a conference championship and knew that they were going to be contenders. And so there's a little maybe added pressure. It's a little bit more of an intense competition because they knew that they had a chance to go make some noise and make a run at a national championship.
Yeah, they did. And the thing about it, this group that we have right now is so balanced because we have some young ones, we have those ones right in the middle, and we have also some upperclassmen. And our upperclassmen, they're stellar, and they've already been through it. We've finished second in the nation a few times with a few people that's on the team now. So I look to them to guide the young ones. So we went in, and we knew we had a shot at winning a national championship, but also the younger ones had the opportunity to go in, and we had some personal best times, and a whole lot of stuff happened at this one. This one is very special to me. I hold it very special.
Yeah, with social media, with the digital media, just all that goes into everything that happens being even that more, much more so public, yet when they see other athletes from other schools, when they read other clippings, when they undoubtedly are kind of looking to kind of maybe see what they're up against, they're not seeing the hustle. They're not seeing the grind. They're not seeing the low points. They're seeing the highlights. Then if they struggle, then they okay, that can mentally wear. Is there a lot of discussing and reminding them that, hey, you're not seeing the process. You've got to trust your process. You've got to trust this process and buy into this.
There's a lot of that. And the thing about track and field, we have what you call a heat sheet, right? So before we enter a meet, the heat sheet is put out so you can look at it and determine who are you up against and who's in your heat, who's in lane what. And that's really huge. And I'm kind of old school, and I hate the heat sheet. But now with social media, they can go online and find it. Like, yeah, yeah. When I was running track, it was a printout, and the head coach only had it. But now they can go online, and they can find it. And when they find it, they know exactly what they're up against. So My thing to them is, hey, look, this person and you can run and jump and do this at one meet, and you can have this time and this distance, but you got to do it on a daily. Mm. So the day we have this meet, you go out and you do your best. So don't worry about the next person. Don't look at this heat sheet. Don't worry about that sheet of paper. Don't worry about that phone. Just worry about what you can put out today. You've put the work in. Now let's go put it out on the track. So I try to remind them that of that daily, every meet. Don't worry about the next person. Worry about you and what we got.
Well, I promise we're going to get into some of these individual results. And as a team, you finished third nationally in the NAI Indoor National Championships. But I do want to continue this line of thought a little bit. You've got a handful of veteran leaders on this group, both on the transfer side and that have been in your program. We're going to talk to one here in the next segment. What was it for those ladies, or what did it mean for you as a team, both on the men's and women's side, to have those ladies who have been through it, have competed in a national championship, going to South Dakota to kind of pull along some of those younger girls?
Well, the thing is, first of all, we have to travel, okay? So we leave Mississippi. And we go to New Orleans, and we get on a flight, and we land in Omaha, and then we drive to South Dakota. So my younger ones, they're at, most of them are, I have a great base from Mississippi, I have a great base from, like, Alabama, and we have a few internationals. So to make that travel is one huge thing, because they're doing something that we normally don't do.
Yeah.
Normally we drive here, and we're there, and then We're competing. So we take a whole day of travel, and at that point, the mindset is like, hey, we're having fun, but we're on a mission. So my stellar upperclassmen, they are the ones that can point out the things. And we're walking through the airport, and they can keep my younger ones in tune. Like, hey, this is not fun. We're on a mission.
Right.
We're headed to a championship, and we're headed to do something, and we want to bring something back home great. So that's how I lean on them in those moments. And they do such a great job at it. I can name a few. But like you said, we'll get into that aspect in a minute.
Yeah.
What's the balancing act of travel to where – they can't be wound too tight. What do you do to try to let the team unwind the right amount on travel days?
Well, on travel days, it's crazy. Mostly it's dress code. If I let them dress a certain way, like I say, hey, look, today we're going to travel in just carry gear. Like most days, you got to wear red and you got to wear black. But when they let their hair down a little bit, hey, we're traveling carry gear. And they think that's amazing. So they just put on whatever they want. But it still says William Carey. So we travel in that. And then and also, this is a big one. I know we're running out of time, but this is a big one. If we go out to eat and I allow them to get soda, because I'm a big water fan. We walk in, I say, hey, waitress, everybody gets water. But if I walk in, I say, hey, you guys can get drinks today. Oh, man. That's a big thing.
That's when you know, Ben, there's discipline in your program.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh, man, Dr. Pepper, let's go.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. It sounds like my family. We had a family of eight. We would always get waters across the board. Yes. When we got soda, Boy, that was a big day.
Big day.
Coach, about 35 seconds here, and we're going to hang on to you. You're going to come back in the third segment. We're going to talk about these individual results in up in South Dakota last week. But really quick, for you as a coach, from that perspective, was it any different for you relative to being in this position as an assistant, now as the head coach?
Well, it wasn't a big difference. The thing is, now my peers, they greet me as the head instead of the assistant. But yep. far as the athletes and what the mission, it stays the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're talking to head coach of our men's and women's track and field Crusaders, Ryan McKenzie. As said right there, we're going to hang on to him. He'll circle back around in the third segment. Up next, we have Crusader, who had a really great week last week up in South Dakota, Nevi Jones, a junior on the women's side of things. We're going to get to talk to her and get her perspective as a student athlete running in a national championship meet. That's to come. This is Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
Listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Crusader Talk continues as we want to thank again Coach McKenzie for joining us in the last segment. We're talking William Carey track and field, and then Milam to my left. Well, Tony is in the house with us tonight, and we're joined now by Nevi Jones. And I'm opening up this segment because, Nevi, we were visiting in the break. You're from Soso, Mississippi. You're a West Jones Mustang. The Mustangs just picked up a basketball championship over the weekend. You being a former player, what is it like to be able to see your former school win a championship and just some of the feels of being able to see that take place?
Well, I've seen the process. I've seen how hard they work. The coach, Coach P, she's a hardcore coach. So it was honestly a long time coming. I'm so proud of them. They worked really hard for it. It's really something great to see.
Well, I do want to keep touching on your high school experience. And Josh, you can attest to this. Mississippi High School track and field is great and is improving year over year. And I know I do want to ask Coach McKenzie about that, but that's kind of objectively true. Some really good competitors in Mississippi high school track and field. So your high school experience, talk about at what point you felt like or maybe realized that you were going to compete at the next level and competing in a really tough classification along with that.
Well, to be honest with you, it was never a click on, click off type reaction. It was like being in a country, you know, just like, oh, I just want to be involved in something. I want to, you know, have my purpose, whether that be in sports or art or whatever it was. Sure. So I chose track. And track was like one of those things where it's like running didn't feel like a workout. It felt like this was fun. It was something that I was good at. Yeah. It was something that I like was could work, and I felt like it was, you know, just a great opportunity for me. Yeah. And when it got to a college level, it was like, man, this is going to be something sweet.
Yeah.
Nevi, you're talking about finding something you're good at, and what I hear is, you know, you're talking about finding purpose, really trying to, you know, there was a journey for you to where you had to kind of figure out where your calling is, so to speak. What do you say to young people out there that may be a little apprehensive about willing to try something new to try to find out where their niche is, to try to find the thing that makes them come alive?
Oh, never stop. Like, never give up. Even if you feel like if someone tells you that, oh, this may not be for you just because you're not where someone else is, never give up. Because I wasn't at the top when I started. So it's something that I just decided, like, this is something I want to work in. This is something I want to be in. So I worked to stay in it. So don't ever let anyone else tell you that this may not be for you because you're not there. Just stay in it and work, and you'll get where you want to be.
In terms of being involved and choosing a sport, I guess, when you're younger, I do want to ask you why specifically track and field for you. Because in Mississippi and a lot of places, track and field is not usually the primary thing. Usually you kind of do that on the side a little bit, but then you people like yourself, competitors like yourself, really commit to it and make it your primary sport and end up competing at the next level. What do you say to kids who maybe are deciding what exactly to be involved in? Why would they choose track and field?
Track and field is truly, I want to say, extraordinary sport. It's like, it's not, it's individual, but it's team at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like you could work on yourself while also working on your team effort.
Sure.
So you could get to meet new people. You get to work on something. And it's like Coach McKenzie mentioned earlier, it's really more mental than it is physical.
Yeah.
So it really helped you focus in on your mental strength as well as your physical.
Yeah.
She's Nevy Jones. She's one of the juniors, part of the national runner-up 4x4 relay team that competed at South Dakota Nationals last week for William Carey. And so for you, that's a bittersweet, a national runner-up. It validates a lot of things, but it also creates some hunger for the senior campaign. What were the mix of emotions from being so close, yet being able to see so many people in your rearview mirror?
Oh, man. The 4x4 anything, it's always a heart-racing thing because it's like, you know, you got three other people depending on you. So you just want to work and push as hard as you can. And even though you see people behind you, you all know that everyone has that hunger. So everyone has the same fight that you have. So you just got to make sure you have that a little bit extra more fight than the person in front of you or behind you to help you finish the race strong.
I'm curious too, you mentioned it, that track is both individual and a team sport, and especially in the relays. I mean, it really does become a team sport. What was it like this year competing with those three other girls and building that chemistry? And why is it important to have chemistry in a relay team? Because a lot of people, I think, the outside perspective who maybe aren't familiar, didn't run track, it looks just like you're handing a stick off to somebody else, right? But there is a lot of chemistry that's necessary to make a good relay team.
Yes. Me coming as a jumper, I usually don't run 400, but I have a talent for it, so they put me in it. But it was a new experience because I'm used to individual.
Right.
And that chemistry is really important when it comes to a pass off, because you got to know your next person. You got to know how they usually run that race, because if you take off too fast, then it's going to mess up that baton pass off. If you take off not fast enough, it's going to be a bump up, mix up. So you got to really know how your teammate runs the race usually.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, when I think about watching quarterbacks go through pregame routine, and I think about basketball players at the free throw line and going through dribbling drills, or I think of a golfer on a putting green working on a three-footer, what are you breaking down throughout the course of the year, the fundamentals of the relay in terms of certain techniques of the passing of that baton? Where does your group spend the most time fine-tuning for those events and really key in on that, especially for the biggest meets?
Oh, definitely endurance. Definitely a lot of running. 200s are the, whenever we hear 200s, it's kind of like heart thumping already. So it's definitely the endurance, making sure we have speed endurance, and make sure when our legs get heavy, make sure we can still finish strong. Even no matter how our legs feeling or how our body may be telling us to stop, but our mind is telling us to keep going. So we work heavily on that.
And just to follow up to that, what is that little tiny part of fundamental that if it goes overlooked, I can't tell you how heartbreaking it is to see that baton get dropped.
Oh.
And it happens a lot more than it should at the high school level. So what are those things that you have to make sure you don't lose focus on?
Oh, definitely making sure you look back. Like you never know how a person is feeling that 400. So you need to make sure you're looking back and eyeballing how they're feeling, if they may be a little shaky or they may be a little slower. So you really need to make sure before you take off, you take off, you look back, then you're like, okay, I see, I'm gauging it. You got to really gauge it and make sure there's no fumble there.
I got to tell you, I'm getting tired right now just talking about 200 meter dashes. I ran a little track in high school, and I do want to ask you about the mental side of it, because it's funny, I played a lot of sports in high school, and the most nervous I ever got was before a race at a track meet. I don't know what it is about a race, but you're staring down this long corridor, and you know it's just going to be 20 seconds, 40 seconds, whatever it is, and you're given 100%. Talk about that mental side of things. How do you prepare for a race like that, and how is it maybe different or more intense running for a national championship?
It's definitely more tense. it's such a huge level, because this is the best of the best.
Yeah.
So mentally, you gotta tell yourself that you put in the work. This is what you worked for all year. You got this. Like, don't let the butterflies, get you too shaken up. So you gotta really just home in and transfer that nervousness into, okay, let's bring some home.
Yeah.
They also say, too, there's so many things you can't replicate in practice. There's so many things in terms of experience, championship-level experience. You're now able to take those butterflies from the national championship. You're able to take the thoughts, the visualization, those moments from that, and now apply it to everyday practice, to every meet moving forward for the rest of your life. What have you gained from that puts you on another level?
I've gained that... There's going to be hurdles, and there's going to be times where you feel like maybe I'm not good enough to be here. But you got to remember that you put in just as much work as the next person did. You made it here. You were there for a reason. So you got to make sure that just stay on top of things, keep your composure, and just know that you're there for a reason.
Nevi, it was an absolute pleasure. Best of luck as you roll right into outdoor season. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
That's Nevi Jones. This is Crusader Talk. We are going to bring back in Coach McKenzie, continue our conversation with him. Stay with us. This is Crusader Talk. Back with more in just a second.
Tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Yes, you are. Crusader Talk continues on this Monday evening. I want to say a big, big thank you to Nevi Jones for joining us in our second segment. She was a whole lot of fun to talk to. And Josh, I think a good look into what Coach Ekstrom and now Coach McKenzie have built is what it is because of girls like that, because of teammates like that. It takes those kind of people to hold it together and to build a foundation that you build success on top of.
It's just character, kids. We were talking with Coach McKenzie about Nevi in the break and about where she's headed in life. She's got a plan. She has purpose. Athletics is a part of that. It's created so much discipline and work ethic. She takes those same principles. She takes that same structure in her life, and she's going to apply it now to nursing. She's going to be at the top of her field. There's no question in my mind because of the type of character and the type of person she is. No question.
I'm Ben Milam. That is Josh West. We're with our producer engineer, Will Tony, and we are joined again by Coach Ryan McKenzie. And Coach, I want to give you a chance, because you were bragging on her between segments, I want to give you a chance to speak to that. What has Nevi Jones and girls like that meant for your program this year?
Well, actually, if I could if I could have 1,000 of those, I would. Nevy Jones, she's stellar. You know, she has a plan. She came in with a plan, and she stuck to that plan. The only time Nevy deviates from her plan is if she feels uncomfortable with what she's putting out. Then she goes back and she redoes that part of the plan so she can come back even stronger. So to have her is great, and she kind of filters over to a lot of the younger athletes that are coming through. They look up to her, and she takes that on, and she provides that that energy to them. So if I could have 10 more of them coming in today, I accept it every time.
Well, Coach, let's talk through some of these results from last week up in South Dakota. You have two national champions, Makeda Linton. I love how I just tossed that out because it runs with the theme of so much success at William Carey. You got another two national champions, Coach. Makeda Linton, the long jump national champion. And again, you finished third overall on the women's side of things. And then Sally Essie Miles wins the national title in the 60-meter hurdles. 4x4, we mentioned the national runners-up with Feja Hodges, Maria Simonkis, Nevy Jones, and Joy Abu. Whole lot of success to talk about there. I know there were others that had success. It might take the whole segment for us to run through that. First thoughts, what was your reaction? Or now, what is your reaction, I guess, a couple of days separated from that performance in South Dakota?
Well, to talk about the two national champions off top, me and Coach Diaz and former Coach Blake, we built this thing to where we felt that we really could have a shot at winning a national championship. So with those two coming in and doing what they did this year, it's stellar. Makeda is a freshman, so she came in and we knew her abilities, but she had an injury for a minute with ankles, and we kind of made sure that we took care of her. But then she came in and she PR'd a lifetime. And I say this again, a lifetime best at the national meet. As a coach, you know, like, if you're not on point, I mean, that made me so happy. And yeah. So she did a lifetime PR at the national meet in her long jump, jumping 6.14 meters to take the championship. And with Sal, we call her Sal, Salisi Miles, she actually broke the national record, NAIA national record in the 60 hurdles. And it was nice to watch. And I pay homage to Coach Diaz. He works with our hurdlers. And I pay homage to him because he put in so much work with them. And they love him. We love him. And, man, just to see that transfer over, she also ran a lifetime best in the 60. So when you talk about a national meet and you're running your best and at your best, you can't ask for nothing else.
Yeah. And what I'm thinking about, you touched on in the first segment, mindset. You know, you talked about the heat sheet, how you hate that, and how you have the team focused on what they can do, their personal best, being able to not worry about what everybody else is doing, but what can you do to be at your best.
Right.
And so I'm impressed with the fact that there's a mindset within the program and with each and every athlete that every day can be their best day ever. Mm-hmm. What does that take to let there be an absolute belief that is not just a hope, but that is a truth of the program? Where did that come from? How does that happen every day?
Well, to be honest, competition and being in the mindset of when you're working with people that are willing to work, and every day we come in, and by myself, if I must say, I lead by example. They watch me. I'm on social media, and I'm up at 4:30. I'm working out. And I tell them this every day. Hey, look, I won't ask you to do anything that I haven't done. I won't tell you to do anything that I wouldn't do. And I implement that on a daily. And they watch me. So I just don't, it's just not words, but they watch me do this. Same thing with Coach Diaz. He's in the gym as well. So they see us working. We get out there and we work out. We run with them. We have fun. But they know that what we're setting up and what we're talking about, we're just not reading a book and kind of giving them what we read. So we live it. And you live it every day and you show it. They buy in, and that's what we go forward with it. Now, I will say this. Over the past few years, our conference has gotten great. And I want to pay homage to Mike Hall, our commissioner. He's bringing in schools and teams that are coming in with the mindset of they want to dethrone William Carey, because we've been pretty stellar in the southern region. So now we fight. We not only fighting for a national championship, but we're fighting for conference championships. So every day we got to get it, because they're out there. So we got to make sure that we're on point.
I want to keep talking about these two national championships, specifically Salisi Miles. Jumps is your background. That's your expertise. You've coached a lot of record holders, a lot of champions in both jumps in indoor and outdoor. What did and does Salisi do to get her from the start of the season, process-wise, what makes her get to the point where she is a national champion?
Well, it's just the work that she puts in. And we sat down with Sal and we talked earlier this year, and we felt that she came in and her diet was a little better, and she dropped a few pounds, and we felt that she was getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And she came in, she put the work in and day out. So it's all about the work. See, a lot of people don't understand it's not the destination, it's the journey. You know, so when you put the work in, it's bound to happen at some point. And she put it down right at the right point, and that was the national championship. So the work that she's putting in and the goals that she set for herself and the goals that we have set for her as coaches, I like to say that we are 20% and the athlete is 80%. So you do – the only thing we can do is just guide you, and we can talk to you, and we can show you, and we can also give you the workout. But you got to put the work in.
Yeah.
How much does it mean now, though, that you can point to – not only these couple of examples, but that particular example as the absolute proof to the process? You can go out and get better each and every meet and then go out and be at your best and do things that nobody thinks you're capable of if you'll have some belief in the work ethic, like you said, every day. How much does that mean to your program, that right there?
I tell them all the time, it's like a plane, right? You have to get on the runway first, and then you have to take off. And you don't take off and go straight up. You take off gradually. And then you have to land. And you just don't go straight down and land. You land gradually. So the process is the biggest thing. And when you see that the results are there and everybody buys in, it's one hard thing to beat. So I think that's why we're why we keep pushing forward as a group.
Well, ask you specifically about Salisi Miles. I do want to go back to Makeda Linton a little bit. What is it like to see a freshman with those intangibles that we're talking about to get her to the point where she is competing for and winning national championships? How excited does that get you for her future as a Crusader?
Well, that makes me very excited. Now, one thing about Makeda, she's a very quiet young lady, and she wears a smile on her face every day. But she works in silent. She's not loud with her work. She works very silent. Now, Sal, she has a personality, and you're gonna hear her, you're gonna see her, but she's working too. But Makeda, to see her come in as a freshman, and she kind of stepped in right behind Brittany Jones leaving. Brittany Jones is Navigant's sister, mm-hmm. and she was our top jumper leaving out. So she comes in, and she's working that hard, and she's kind of taking that place, and she's kind of coming into her own, and I'm just excited to see what comes next, man.
Is there any there's I would say in track and field, as in sports now, there aren't a lot of secrets. And so when you have high character people mm-hmm. that do it on the daily,
yep.
then good things can happen.
Right.
And so with that said, though, without giving away anything, is there something that makes this program special? Aside from the people, is there something? And I think one of the things is starting at the top,
right.
seeing the work that the coaches put in, seeing that you actually believe and practice what you preach. But is there something else that we need to know about?
Well, I would say you hit the nail on the head right there. And I would really think that it's them believing in us first. Every athlete, whoever is in the direction of them, like if you can actually tell them and they can see it and they can believe in you, and when they believe in you, then they believe in your program, they'll run through a door for you. And we all know that. That's old school. So that's the way I coach, and I believe my coaching staff does the same. Coach Diaz and we brought on Cooper Harrington. And when they see us and they see what we're doing and the work that we're willing to put in, they follow us.
So you mentioned old school. Mm-hmm. I think that there's so many old school things that sometimes if it's new, it's not true. Where are some things that are in track and field right now that they're missing it? What's something new that's trendy that it's like, no, that's not it. This is it.
Social media. It's that instant, you know, gratification. Like, so they post, and some athletes think that if I post a photo and I get the likes and I get, you know, the comments, then I've made it. No, you got to put the work in. So I think social media is kind of swing a little bit on some of our younger athletes. So I like to tell them, hey, we got to put the work in now, and let's do it in realistic time. Yep.
Coach, really quickly, moving ahead to outdoor season, what are you excited about for both of these groups?
Going into outdoor season, we get to do traditional track. You know, we're from the South. You know, indoor is kind of like a tune-up for us. So now we really get to see track and field. And I'm excited to go across that 400-meter track, baby.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Coach McKenzie getting us fired up in here. Coach McKenzie, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Ryan McKenzie, head coach of our men's and women's track and field programs here at William Carey. On the other side of this break, me and Josh will wrap things up on Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
You are indeed listening to Crusader Talk. Man, there are a lot of things you could do for the Monday evening. Glad you're spending part of it with us here on Crusader Talk. Ben Milam alongside Josh West, Will Tony, another fantastic lineup of guests. We do want to thank Ryan McKenzie, head coach of our men's and women's track and field program at William Carey, for joining us and for bringing along Nevi Jones. Again, she was a pleasure to talk to. And Josh, I think both of those groups are going to make some noise in the outdoor season. We were talking about it off air, the benefit of getting to that level and competing at a national championship and having a lot of success. Man, that's going to play forward.
No, you can't replicate it. I mean, it's something now. You know, when you haven't been there, you're trying to mentally visualize what that's going to feel like and then try to play that forward. Now, once you've been there, you get to take that back.
Yeah.
And then you know what it feels like. So when you're in those regular matches, you're in those regular track meets, when you're in those regional qualifiers, et cetera, conference or the like, then you've already been in a national championship. So the confidence that you gain. And it's not there. Yes, there's a belief in yourself. Yes, there's a hope in yourself. But now there's a no. For some of these young ladies, there is a no, I've already done it. And so absolutely I can do it again. So there's just going to be a kind of a peace and a calm that they can tap into. And now it's just execution.
Yeah.
And so I think it's invaluable. You cannot replicate it.
Again, Makeda Linton, the freshman Crusader that Coach McKenzie was talking about, long jump national champion as a freshman. Man, that's really impressive. So Lisi Miles wins the national title in the 60-meter hurdles. She does it with a time of 8:20. That is a little faster than I can run 60 meters and jumping over stuff at the same time. Again, the 4x4 relay national runners-up, Feja Hodges, Maria Simonkis, Nevi Jones, and Joy Abu, and a team overall finish of third place for the women. And the men, a good performance as well individually. And I do want to remind you that you can go to gowcucrusaders.com and check out all of the results, because there are a lot more that we didn't get to talk about tonight, because there was a lot of success on both sides of the track and field national championships up in South Dakota. Really quickly, let's run through what is ahead. We'll talk about actually – reverse that. We're going to talk about what's ahead in a second here, but a quick review of this last week. The women's golf side, Coach Mixon had a really nice week last week. They go to the Magnolia Grove Golf Club and win the Rams invite. They finish in first place there. Coach Halford and his baseball side get a midweek win over Bryant and Stratton College, and then a sweep of Dillard this past weekend. Coach Fletcher and his Lady Crusaders on the softball side of things get a win over LSU, Alexandria, and Bethel in the midweek, and they go 3-3 in a really, really tough Gulf Coast Invitational down in Gulf Shores. And we obviously talked about men's and women's and the track and field, and a couple other things I'm missing here. Women's and men's tennis, they put in a good showing, continue to improve. They were up at Georgia Gwinnett College this past weekend. That is, I think, about 64 different sports happening right now, William Carey, and we are happy to get to talk about it. We started a new feature last week, a Seder of the Week. We're going to highlight one player or student athlete, and that is not possible this week. We have two Seders of the Week, and I think you can probably guess who they are. Makeda Linton, the long jump national champion last week in the NAIA, and Salisa Miles. So Lisi Miles wins the national title in the 60-meter hurdles and beat a previous national NAIA record of 8:31 that was set by a lady running for Oklahoma Baptist back in 2014. Two pretty impressive weeks for those Crusaders.
I mean, you don't have to pick one. You make the rules. You get to pick two.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they made you, if they, like, you know, again, pinned you down and said pick one, you got to go with national record holder, right? So
yeah, sure.
You would go Miles. It would be 1 and 1A. You know, if you had to. We're not going to do that. We're just saying we get two. But pretty impressive. And I think what's even the most impressive is the platform that, Ben, you're given, and that I get to be a part of and Caleb gets to be a part of, and where finally it is being broadcast out to the masses what is going on. This is just the tip of the iceberg of the momentum that is coming from William Carey University Athletics. It's been going on. It's just now is the timing's right to be able to start talking about it, and the notoriety of it, the way that it is being presented, is going to take this program to a whole nother level.
You know, Will, I want to bring you in here for a second. I know you have felt that as a Carey grad, wanting people to know how special this place is.
Well, knowing, you see, I've known Coach Knight almost all my life.
Yeah.
My dad went to high school with him, and so we've known each other for a while. But following Carey Athletics, you would see on Facebook and you would see, you know, oh, we have a national champion in track and field.
Yeah.
And that's the only place you would see it would be on Facebook. And I think it's awesome that now we have the platform that we can do this and, you know, shed more light on William Carey. And it's an institution that I love dearly. And, you know, the fact that I get paid to produce this and talk with y'all is pretty awesome. It's also hard to believe that you can have a rough weekend in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
That is absolutely right. Well, let me tell you, it is our genuine pleasure to be able to unveil, I guess, how special William Carey is and the athletic side of things. That's Josh West. That's Will Toney. My name is Ben Milam. We'll see you next week. Until then, go Seders, and good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.